Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to the Skulls Cast. I hope you're listening to this at night, because this is episode 19. 19? I'm going to do this for every letter or every number that sounds like anything special from now on, I think. That's an important part of the cast. Anyway, my name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is indeed the Skulls Cast, wherein Medibot and I discuss many things. Most of the Magic the Gathering, because that's a... this is really the only time that I can get Medibot alone to talk about Magic. Here's how it works. Almost everyone that he and I both know enough about Magic that if he or I says something that is itself a Magic card, or like recite some rules text, or mention a couple of words that are specific to the game, then they know what we're talking about, but none of them keep up with Magic as much as he and I do, so they're not very interested. So it's like being constantly bombarded by information that you recognize, so you like pay attention. It's like, oh wait, I recognize that. And then you're immediately like, oh crap, I don't want to hear that crap, I don't care. So it's very distracting for the people that we know. I have found a solution, you see.
Oh.
Are you safe in your cage?
A solution. Medibot? I am in the fear crate right now.
The fear crate.
I do not normally speak with others while I am inside the fear crate, but, you know, these are the sort of sacrifices I'm willing to make for my friends that we can talk about the game of Wizards the Gathering, and we're not going to be talking about, like, cards specifically this time. We've done a bunch of casts about set review, where,
right.
you
and
know, it's mostly cast giving,
be...
you know, actual evaluations of cards, where I come up with impossible, stupid, advanced Johnny scenarios that are a thin excuse for me completely misevaluating pretty much everything. But we're not
well, to be fair,
about
after
that.
after you've read like two or three Louis Scott Vargas set reviews or something, they more or less all sound the same. So I've read my three or four of those for the most recent sets, and I've figured out the method. So I know all of the pros secrets now. Yeah, set reviews tend to be too long in one way and not long enough in other ways. So, like, for a single card that's very interesting and deserves more time, it tends to get the same chunk of time that Durfee, vanilla, removal spell, happens every set kind of thing takes up. And so, really, nah, I think we should still do the set review. Maybe we'll, like, pick up a highlights reel or a, like, set card revisited or something like that if it ever strikes our fancy. I don't know that if that exact scenario is going to play out. But I do regret that the set reviews tend to... I want more time devoted to the setting, honestly. Because I think we did that really well, to make this somewhat of a review of our other materials. A review, if you will. Or retrospecticus. Icus.
Retrospectacle?
No. I lost my train of thought there. That's kind of bad for someone giving like a podcast. I'm sure there was something I meant to say there, but I just kind of lost it. To make this a review of our other review stuff, I like the way the first review played out, where in Innistrad I got to talk about like the humans having hats, and it was good, and it also had Skeletal Grimace, and I really liked the flavor of that, and man. Just there was so much grist to that. There was enough setting materials to talk about. In Dark Ascension, the setting was largely unchanged. It was really, really, really the same.
Humans had fewer hats, and that's how you knew they were losing.
Yeah, and that was really all we were left to talk about. And we're like, oh, another 3-2 werewolf for 4. Because that's apparently a thing in red or whatever. It's like, red has so many 4 mana 3-2s and
play
other 3-2s.
3 mana 1-2 into turn 4 pass the turn, transform into the biggest Ophidian, and leave up counterspell mana.
Right, but she was she was green for one, and interesting for another. So that was... Also, she's an old lady on a magic card.
Literally an old lady magic that card that you want
That hasn't
to
happened
play.
Since, like, Academy Rector.
She is powerful
so good.
And relevant.
Did you know... And I know that you did not know this, Medibot. Actually, no, wait. I know that you do know this because I told you earlier. I called my grandma today.
Oh, happy birthday.
So I have talked to an old lady today. How cool is that?
That's pretty good. I've talked to an old man pretty recently.
That's pretty cool, too.
That's old people on magic cards. It's relevant.
Yeah. I mean, well, we have like plenty of old men on magic cards, because it's like, oh, he's a wizened old wizard. It's like, I guess what we're missing from that equation is, where's the old man on a magic card who isn't just a wizard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess Elder Cathar?
He is! How about that?
He's not a wizard, but he's definitely old.
He is, and he has the pince-nez and... He has that look on his face like, young man, you're going to need this excellent sword. It's one of my +1/+1 counters. See? And that was the first set, too. Oh, we had stuff to talk about. Failing having stuff to talk about the setting of Innistrad, because we just plain don't, because we've more or less said it already, and we're not going to have anything else to say until Avacyn comes back, and it's like, oh, our magic baby angel is back, because she was inside the Hell Vault, which, by some coincidence, is in fact not full of demons like it's supposed to be, but full of our protectors, and we were in the Hell Vault the whole time, and did that happen?
Full of Avacyn, but also full of, like, a billion devils.
Well, that... It couldn't possibly have Withengar in it. He's somewhere else.
Right, like, he's
and
out.
He's as big as they come.
Yeah, but,
so...
like, they have an infinite number of small to medium-sized demons in the Hell Vault.
I would have to see the series equation for the sum of the powers of these demons, and if it converges, then we have no problems. If we're going to talk about, like, an infinite series of devils, let's bring out the summary series.
Okay.
Run the equations.
The name and face of each demon is more despicable than the last, and it's more despicable than the last by exactly a factor of 1.4.
That's kind of a no-brainer as far as series mechanics goes.
Right. It's not hard.
I also think that you're definitely lying, because otherwise, how would Withengar exist? He's clearly the biggest badass, weighing in at 13-13. They can't count higher than that on Innistrad.
Yeah, but he has narcolepsy.
He fell asleep.
He got tired. Hmm. He wanted a nap.
He could still use a bow when he was asleep, though? That's kind of weird. What is the chant really doing?
Maybe it's just making him depressed? He feels less confrontational, so he doesn't want to, like, really do things in a direct fight. But
lots of people in the game of Magic who feel very confrontational. You could say that confronting things is their inveterate habit of existence. They are our topic tonight.
Yeah, bunch of chumps. Tonight, a lot of them.
Tonight has a topic.
Tonight has a topic.
I figured it out.
In the game of Magic the Gathering, in the flavor, in the world of it, there are wizards in this world, because it's a game about magic.
There are.
But there's also, like, double wizards, but they don't call them double wizards. They call them planeswalkers. But they're basically,
they do call them that. Back in the day, they called, you know, you opened up the box of magic cards and it said, you are a wizard, you summon creatures, and that's, like, cool. So the flavor was supposed to be, like, you and your buddy are both dueling wizards, like that 1970s movie Wizards, which watch if you haven't, it's
pretty good.
But that was the original plan. But then they introduced this new word, Or the Planeswalker.
Planeswalker.
Someone who can walk the planes. Because the mythos, or diegesis, or artificial universe that in
the
which
flavor-text.
Magic the Gathering takes place, has lots of Planeswalkers in it. A Planeswalker has a spark. Okay, this is a fact
this
about
is a
Planeswalkers.
Plot device.
Yes. So you can tell a Planeswalker from a non by if they have the spark or not. Same, like, spark of leadership or whatever Autobot thing. I treat it as more or less equivalent to that. And this enables them to Planeswalk, which is the act of going from one plane of existence to another, which is to say a different set of Magic the Gathering. They all take place on a plane. Usually the sets are named after the planes on which they take place. Sometimes sets will share a plane. So for a quick rundown of that, Ravnica, Mirrodin, Kamigawa, all planes, right?
Yeah.
Time Spiral, not a plane, but it takes place on Dominaria, which is like the home plane, or the one in which the first core set took place, and they have like their own little, ooh, planet Dominaria, and that's been well established and even revised multiple times to be more realistic. I think that, what was it called? The one that had the Coalition set, Apocalypse, and
yeah,
that whole block, that took place on Dominaria as well for the Phyrexian invasion. Phyrexia itself was a plane for a while. Like, Yawgmoth came from that place, and they made a big deal out of planar travel. It's like, oh, the Phyrexians know how to planeswalk somehow with a device instead of a spark, and they're going to invade, and they did invade, and, you know, hey, slip through the planar portal or whatever. But then they changed the rules for them, for Mirrodin. They just had some oil or something, and the oil was like a mnemonic copy of everything that Phyrexia is, and so it would just like turn things into Phyrexia until, oh no, Mirrodin is now Phyrexia! Boom! Bang! And whatever, no planeswalking involved there. What other facts about planeswalkers you get back? Oh, and planes themselves. So what other... what are the settings? I mean, Innistrad is the name of a plane, too.
Wherever, like...
Jeez.
Freaking...
The Tempest block took place on the plane of Wrath.
Yeah, Wrath.
So the idea is to make Planeswalkers an in-world analog of what the players in life are doing. And that's okay as a thing. I mean, it's nice to feel that there's some purpose to my playing Magic cards, other than just having fun. It's neat to think about. I don't think that the comparison need necessarily be this direct. I don't feel like I have to cosplay as one of the absurd characters that they have. Or even go very far to think about like what they are, or where they're going, or why. Because as soon as you start to think about where these planeswalkers are going or why, you realize that what Medibot and myself realize, that they are all idiots.
All a bunch
now,
of
these,
chumps.
They're supposedly all adults, and some of them are like powerful mind people. They have like spells that can make them more intelligent or whatever. Yeah, even those are bozos. So they really have no refuge left. So Medibot and I are going to go through all of the planeswalkers and describe, from what we know, both reading cards and doing a little bit of other investigation into the personas of the planeswalkers, as to the comics and books that they've published, that Wizards has published about the planeswalkers themselves, and kind of break down what they're actually doing and put the tiniest bit of critical eye on the concept of the Planeswalker itself, and I hope reveal what I do believe is the problem of the Planeswalker, and the reason why it will always be a narrative atrocity. Like, you cannot write a good story about a Planeswalker because of this thing. Are there any, like, features of Planeswalkers that I'm leaving out? Medibot, because
let's see, they can planeswalk. They all can wizard.
They can planeswalk. They have a spark. Oh yeah, they're all like magically inclined or whatever. Even if they're not like flavored as wizards exactly, yeah. They all have like spells got, like, and stuff that they can magic. Throw at each other. Yeah.
Most of them are pretty dumb, you know. On a good day, they're merely short-sighted. On a bad day, they're outright incompetent. It's terrible. Where should we start?
Right. But I mean, facts about them.
They're cards.
I mean, they can be any like.
Like they started making cards with planeswalkers.
Oh right.
On.
Yeah. And they started pushing the narrative of planeswalkers even more now that there's a card type for them, including inventing personas for the original five, who were like the scions of their colors. You know, this is Garruk. He is. The green planeswalker, and everything about his card had to scream green as loudly as he could. I'm trying not to also scream, and you know, I'm carefully monitoring my levels here. It's important for me to maintain a level, but imagine that I screamed much more loudly than that, and you'll get just how green Garruk had to be.
He does not have an inside voice, because.
Well, he'd be a yeller if he weren't so green.
Yeah. Okay, so where should we start describing this sad list of
Well,
chumps?
long ago, planeswalkers meant something else.
That's true.
A little bit.
They used
before
to
they had a card
be gods.
Type. Yeah, but before they had a card type, in the stories, the planeswalkers themselves were like these like mega powerful entities who could go anywhere they wanted and create and destroy planes of existence with a thought and so we had Urza and Mishra as they were both planeswalkers, I'm pretty sure, brothers. Like they had like the mutual spark or whatever. Or maybe it was just Urza and Mishra just got
Mishra's been
somewhere
like
else.
Retconned to not have ever been a planeswalker.
Oh, cute. Well that's really fair.
Yeah.
Whatever. So we had Urza at least.
Yeah.
I guess Nicole Bolas was technically, you know, old hat at planeswalking. Teferi, Mage of Jalfir, he was definitely a walker.
Jaya Ballard.
Was she a walker? I thought she was just charismatic.
No. Apparently she, like... I'm seeing on my little
list. Oh,
do you
have a list?
Looking at the list of planeswalkers.
Oh, he has the list.
Like, you know, they're throwing out, you know, all the people, you know, they throw out Jessica and Feyraz, Ravi Sengir on there, Sarah, and also on there is Jaya Ballard.
Oh, okay, sure enough. I mean, Feyraz had, like, a couple cards with his name on it.
Yeah.
Because there was Feyraz's ban. Oh, right, because he came from the Homelands set.
Yeah, Ulgrotha.
What was that place, actually? Ulgrotha, yeah. That's right. Because the Feyraz's ban was the ban on planeswalkers coming to that place. And that was neat. That was a cool bit of story. And they only invoked the names of planeswalkers when they needed, like, these... powerful yet sort of standoffish, apathetic mythological figures, the same way that classic mythology stories would have, you know, Zeus or something. That's kind of how it would roll in a lot of cases. Less bestiality, honestly, because that was
a big
no-no
part of Greek mythology.
as far as writing a story nowadays.
Less popular.
Also
picture.
Strains credulity, like kids. Would not want to read about the first Minotaurs coming about and the, like, race of Minotaurs. Whatever. Yeah, that, I mean, they're so freewheeling with their use of other parts of mythology. Why not work the bestiality back into it? Why not just be honest with ourselves here? It's their decision, their corporate decision. But so that's the classic array of planeswalkers. And then, before they introduced planeswalkers, which they had meant to do in the set Future Sight, which is the third... set of the Time Spiral block as kind of the big wow of this set. They ported them over later on to Lorwyn because Planeswalkers as a mechanic underwent some severe redesigns. and they didn't want to rush it too much. I'm kind of glad they ended up postponing that from a mechanical standpoint, but really, they probably could have safely put it in Future Sight and had it make more sense. Well, as if that set needed to be anything, like... as if it needed more, like, power or silly wow factor in it. Set designed entirely out of wow factor. Ooh, look what weird stuff we might do sometime in the future! Teehee, this is actually... calculated experimentation. Why is no one calling them on this?
Terrible.
Throw a bunch of shit at a wall and see what players glom onto and what sticks, and reprint that. Look at this. It's from the future.
But yeah.
So that's when we got the idea of Planeswalkers as a card type. And the story reason for the set of Time Spiral, why Planeswalkers were now this different, disempowered thing, was that Planeswalking itself as a practice was shattering the fabric of the universe, multiverse, or whatever. And in order to make that not happen, they had to like kill a bunch of themselves, and then all Planeswalkers everywhere got disempowered.
Yep. Power level went way down.
Now, if the level of contrivance up to that point hasn't already strained your credulity to the point of breaking, then we're going to continue on and describe to you with each Planeswalker, who is a card, and maybe some of the others
sometimes
who aren't cards.
Sometimes multiple cards.
Why they are idiots.
Alright, should we start off with the easy one?
Where should we start? I hardly know. I mean, I was just going to launch off with Chandra as a jumping point because she's my favorite.
All right, let's start off with Chandra Nalar.
Okay. All right. Chandra Nalar is a shameless attempt to not have Jaya Ballard have two cards in one block. For all the world, Chandra should not exist because... she's a magical fire girl with her hair on fire who wears goggles and likes fire and likes setting things on fire, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jaya Ballard is a magical fire girl with goggles who likes fire and likes setting things on fire and has like a million quotes from classic magic cards about fire. And moreover, her legend card in Time Spiral has similar mechanical reflections to the Planeswalker cards themselves. You know, she's a single human persona. She has three abilities. All of the Planeswalkers started out, they had three abilities. So it's sad that Chandra exists in the first place and isn't... why couldn't they just say, oh, no, that's actually Jaya. There we go. And then... like, seriously, take your magic marker to any Chandra card and just... scratch through like where it says Chandra and write Jaya, and scratch through where it says Nalar anywhere and write in Ballard, and there you go. Apparently in the stories they know each other. Even could you imagine that meeting? Oh wow, jeez, that dress.
It's like she hangs out at like the official sorority house for fire wizards.
I know.
And like apparently like, Jaya's like they got a portrait up on the wall somewhere.
They must have this academy, or maybe they all shop at the same flaming Hot Topic or whatever. And I imagine that the meeting was actually very weird. You know, the Planeswalkers are supposed to be this impossibly rare occurrence throughout the entire multiverse, and to be touched with the spark is to be part of this very minute fraction of all life that exists throughout the multiverse. And then, throughout that impossible, you know, likelihood, you meet someone who is exactly like you. And you get the sense of scale of everything.
Oh, dang.
But Chandra is kind of an idiot.
A little bit.
And... It has to do with her impulsiveness, and this is sort of okay for a character who is so deeply red. Red is supposed to be passionate and impulsive and short-sighted and just sort of strongly desire something and strongly work for it for you know, just as a rule, if you will, that's read to a T. But as a character, that starts to make less and less sense when, you know, I mean, if you're just throwing goblins at your problem and they, you know, it's like, oh, they're hasty, they die, they explode, that's fine. But if you have a character who has to, like, repeatedly come back between story arcs, it comes up to either harder and harder ways to explain why she is still alive or why she hasn't just stopped doing what she's doing. Because, you know, you come to this deadly scenario and it's like, are you actually passionate enough to, like, throw your heart into this and give your life up? Or are you not actually that passionate, and do you get to live? So she's either dead or not red, is what I'm saying, at the core, whenever we come up to a situation in the stories where Chandra has to make a decision. For whatever reason, she likes stealing things, too. That's like...
Stealing things is great. It's free stuff.
I mean, it is sort of believable. If I were a planes... If I could just get out of there whenever I wanted, you know? No one could ever catch me. Who would dare? Who would dare try? It's like, okay, well, stole this thing from this plane. Laters! Boop! And you would need a planeswalker bounty hunter or police or whatever in order to track that even. Which Jace tried his hand at, as far as I could tell. So yeah, she was a thief, just stole things for no reason, decided for no reason, let's get to the Eye of Ugin part of this discussion, because I think this will be a threefer. Yeah, she decided that she wanted whatever was in the Eye of Ugin.
Yeah, because it's probably great.
Oh, it's gotta be. It's this really rare place on this really deep adventure world full of rare things that you can't get to because it's too damn dangerous. Well, that's right up the alley of that there Chandra Nalar, and she goes to the Eye of Ugin, right? Only to find that Sarkhan the Mad is already there. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Sarkhan.
Sarkhan is like, okay, so he's some guy from, like, Alara?
Pretty sure he was from Jund,
yeah. From Jund, the Jund 5th of Alara, and it's full of dragons.
Either he's from there, or he's from somewhere else and just landed there, because Jund is full of dragons.
And he loves dragons. He's got a huge boner for dragons. He
really does.
Commands the dragon boner.
All of the cards that he has had can produce dragon tokens. That's just how much he likes dragons.
Yeah. So his deal is basically that he wants to just put dragons everywhere? He's like, this is an okay place.
I guess.
But it, like, could use more dragons.
His character motivation was supposed to be that he's looking for the perfect dragon.
Yes.
And that would be, and then he would claim it as his god and do its bidding.
Yes.
Well, he ended up finding Nicol Bolas instead, who's like, hey, you really like dragons. I am a powerful dragon god. Why don't you work for me? And Sarkhan was like, okay. And yeah. Nicol Bolas is this shady
heavily
ancient planeswalker dude, you know, elder dragon.
Elder
and
dragon legend.
And he's supposed to be this, like, villainous schemer.
He's supposed, like, to be all like, ooh, I'm
recurring
the puppet master.
Bad guy.
Everything is
of magic.
Moving according
right
to my every whim, and I have foreseen this all in advance, and you're doing exactly
apparently
what I thought
part
you would
of,
do.
Yeah,
here's
part
the
of
deal
Nicol
Bolas'
every whim was sending Sarkhan the Mad to the Eye of Ugin. There we go. Yeah. So Chandra gets there. And she's like, yo, what up? And Sarkhan's like, fight me. I am crazy. Do you even understand the power inside this? I'm going to turn into a dragon. Ah! And so he immediately starts. They have a fight inside the eye,
yeah,
right? Which is this big rock. That's all it is. It's like the Eye of Ugin. It's a rock.
Yeah.
It's full of little rocks. Whatever. Jace shows up too. Because he had been tracking Chandra ever since one of her heists on Ravnica.
Stole the shit out of something.
Yeah, something from an Azorius guy, and this Azorius guy calls up Jace and is like, yo, you gotta chase this girl, yo. And he does, and he catches her, and then they fight, and then she runs away again. He's like, damn it, I've got to catch that woman. Her mind is chaos. She's stolen a thing. I mean, I don't know what they're paying him, but wouldn't it make more, you know, logical sense, Mr. Jace the Thinking Man, if you also became a thief? I mean, really, Chandra's got one up on you in this scenario. If you can't possibly be caught, because you have this ability that is totally novel, and I mean, why not just take something, take it somewhere else? No one will know you ever took it. Be rich forever, and then, you know, spend the rest of your life studying on whichever plane is the best possible place to study in. And forget all this nonsense about going off into the world and risking your life fighting someone that you don't really care about or are just, like, hired to... Where's the logical connection, Jace? Why are you doing what you're doing? But what, for whatever reason, he does. Right, so that's why Jace is an idiot. And, he also shows up at the Eye of Ugin because he had tracked Chandra there, right? So you have Jace and Chandra and Sarkhan, and they're all there. And they're inside the Eye. Oh, and Nicole Bolas told Sarkhan to be there. That was also a thing.
Yes, math day.
And this, right. And in the fight, Jace shows up and is like, Chandra, I suddenly care that you're in trouble. But you are in trouble. Let me help you out. And then he tries to, like, do mind magic on Sarkhan, but Sarkhan is like, I'm mad! And the mind magic doesn't work. So Jace thinks this up. He's like, oh, I know. Chandra, turn your fire invisible. That way it'll work. Like, he's pulling stuff from... He's pulling it from the same place that he pulled any of his motivations. And in an equal act of contrivance, these conditions... having three planeswalkers inside the Eye of Ugin and breathing, like, ghost fire on it, is apparently the condition that unlocks it.
Yes!
Yeah.
Unseal that which was
sealed. So that was the, they had inadvertently done the unsealing ritual.
Yes.
They unsealed the Eldrazi, who were gigantic, unfathomable monsters
ass-kickers.
Who annihilate things, and... Then Emma wakes up and it's like, oh, I feel tired, destroy. And,
you know, great. You
take over
shit.
The plane, and that's the more or less storyline behind the block of Zendikar into Rise of the Eldrazi. Now, I don't know exactly what Nicole Bolas was thinking on this one, because we can sort of attribute the whole thing to him a little. I mean, it doesn't really make sense that Chandra was there and looking for things, but, you know, he could have, you know, dropped a hint, tricked her, and been like, oh, there's this really rare thing that would be great to steal in here. Why don't you go there? I'll make sure that my minion is here. That sort of makes sense. It makes less sense for Jace to be there, because he's the king idiot for all this. But let's say that you know, benefit of the doubt, Nicole Bolas knows what he's doing. And he wanted this to happen. He's the only one of any of them who could possibly have wanted it to happen. So did he know what was inside? Did he have a guess? I mean, he seemed to know the complete ritual for how to make it happen. So he must know something about it. So he wanted the Eldrazi to come back? Or to break out of their cages? Start
what he wanted
everything.
Was just to the satisfaction that comes from manipulating people into doing a thing where you know the outcome and they don't.
I guess, but the outcome is that...
The outcome
you know,
is that you're fucked, son.
The Eldrazi will return to where they are ultimately native to, which is the Blind Eternities. If all of the planes are little buoys in a vast ocean, and planeswalkers are able to swim across to... between buoys. The Eldrazi are sea monsters.
Yeah.
They come from there. That's why they're like impossible to understand and crazy wiggy alien things or whatever. Yeah. So if they make it back there, wouldn't that make things harder for everyone, Nicole Bolas included? I mean, couldn't they then, you know, get to any plane? What's to stop them from getting back to where they come from and then swallowing up planes whole or turning them into places that are full of crazy floating rocks? Which is also what they do. But they're also, here's the other thing, the Eldrazi themselves are rather apathetic when it comes to actually accomplishing anything. So, okay, the people of Zendikar fought them, and, you know, that was a thing. It was like, a war against the Eldrazi, and, like, the block itself never explained how that war carried, like, ultimately finished.
No.
So we have no idea. I'm just guessing here, but in the comics, like, right after they had done the unsealing ritual, like, the whole room goes dark or whatever, and then the Eldrazi are just sort of everywhere. They're immediately, like, all over the place, and none of them are inside the Eye itself. So it's not like we saw them, like, break out of their rocks and then crawl to places. It's just like, oh, you guys did the ritual. Guys, everyone, everywhere, wake up now. It's okay.
Well, thanks, buddy. Oh,
someone
man,
did the ritual, and then they're... Okay, so in the comics... Like, Jace is leaving that place and was like, huh, that's weird. Welp, guess I'd better get back to somewhere. Let me just walk. And he, like, hops a lizard mount to somewhere. And then in this one page, there are a bunch of wordless panels that describe the action of Eldrazi coming across one of Ulamog's minions, which is this gigantic, multi-armed, tentacled, you know, faceless... skull thing, and it crushes his caravan and then leaves.
Yeah.
And you know, he's just sort of there, and it goes away. And you know, he doesn't have any words for this either, and he shows up to the port not like a minute later on this plane of Zendikar that is impossible to traverse or whatever, and he's fine, and he's just like, man, that was weird, I'd better get a boat. Why doesn't he say anything about this? Or have someone to say it to? Why wasn't this Eldrazi monster more insistent upon murdering him? Or show any motivation at all itself, other than just sort of breaking one thing? It's as if the comic itself exists not to tell a story, but rather to have one instance each of all of the cards that you're familiar with interacting in a setting so that you feel... that it's the card game you're playing is actually part of something greater when that's just so much hokum. The Eldrazi monster was there to advertise. It was like, ah, enjoy a delicious Emra Cola, Jace. Are you capable of withstanding flavor of this magnitude?
Annihilate your thirst.
And that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But needless to say, the four planeswalkers involved in that scenario are all idiots. Jace and Chandra were two of the original five cards printed, so they're basically going to be around forever in different forms.
Probably.
So they can't die.
Whoa!
Or we can just print cards that are like, you know, that shows off that character when they were younger.
We're older. We're just different.
What I'm saying is that as the original five, the characters themselves will never be, like, written out or dismissed. They'll keep recurring in stories somehow, just because by now they're so iconic.
Well, it's not entirely true.
Are you talking about a Johnny?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about a Johnny.
Okay, so a Johnny is this, like, lion man. He's from, like...
He is a lion man.
From the plane of lions called Naya, because that sounds kind of like lions. That's
lion
like a subplane
Naya.
Of the Alara, which was a lousy block. And he's like a lion man, and there are a bunch of lion people on Naya, and there are elves and lion people, and that's pretty much it, and they're pretty much okay.
Yeah.
But then they all get in fights and shit, and something, Planeswalker spoke, he got super mad because his brother died, and then
he sort
of chilled out after a while.
Oh, that was one thing I didn't explain about the Planeswalker spark. Apparently, it happens differently for everyone, but it's always an extreme emotional... thing that causes your spark to ignite, or it's something else. But in this case, it was a Johnny getting mad or sad.
Super mad about his
brother died.
And so he got super mad and sparked.
And then
out.
He ended. Yeah, he ended up on Jund, which is like the next mini plane over.
Next plane over.
He did not planeswalk very far his first time. And then Sarkon finds him and is like, "Hey,
you're not a dragon."
Do you like dragons, though? Because I can show you how. You're apparently a planeswalker, so I'm going to teach you how this goes. Here, let's ride a dragon. Ever wanted to?
It'll be awesome. What the hell?
And Johnny's like, yo, bro, what is this? My brother just died. I have to deal... Is that a dragon? We don't have those where I come from. Where the hell am I? And then Sarkon, like, apprentices him or something. Then indescribable things happen. Ajani fights Nicol Bolas. Nothing happens, and Ajani really chills out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why Ajani Vengeant is white and red, and Ajani Goldmane is just white.
Yeah. Ajani Goldmane is supposed to be the older version of the character, or like a character post-arc.
Post being mad.
Yeah. He's no longer as Vengeant and decided to...
So he's just, like, some random lion guy, and I guess, you know, that's okay to be, like, a lion guy, wizard, fighty man, but it's like, what's your deal? What are you even doing? He never... It's like, his motive, like, why...
The problem with having him post-arc that way, and the other four of them in a more, like, pre-arc condition is that they can't, like, advance him from here without it seeming like they're just inserting this old cat person into the scenario or whatever. I don't know.
Like, he never shows a lot of outright stupid, but he also never shows us anything that we should give, like, one half of a fuck about.
Yeah. So I guess he wins out on
the scale.
Yeah,
he wins out
like,
by not being, like, aggressively
foolishness.
Bad, just boring.
Yeah.
So Lion Man, merely boring.
I mean, I guess taking on Nicol Bolas for no reason is dumb, but he came out okay for it.
Yeah,
or something.
Something.
I don't know.
Also, like...
I honestly have no knowledge of what that conflict was about or why it happened. But it was the subject of a dual decks product. So it was called Ajani versus Nicol Bolas. And then, you know... So clearly a fight happened there somewhere. And since Ajani Goldmane is the... After the result of that... I mean, he must have chilled out or something.
Like,
maybe Nicol lobotomized him.
Either, Nicol was maybe he's like, you know what? Getting in random fights fucking sucks. He's like, this is lame as shit. Just gain some life, y'all.
Yeah, so let's say that Ajani made the one good decision that a planeswalker ever made and just sort of chilled out, and that also made him irrelevant to plotline, so they haven't made any more cards for him, and he's been replaced by other white walkers.
Yeah. Okay, so, like, so we've gone through Jace, Chandra, Nikki, Johnny.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Gideon Jura next.
Gideon Jura is, like...
Gideon Jura, as a card, replaced a Johnny.
Basically replaced him, and he's, like, a dude, pretty much.
He has these mutton chops and this angry expression on his face.
And he's got this crazy, like, a whipper glove?
Yeah, he has... it's a bracer, right? Yeah. That has, like, multiple tendril whips coming out of it, and they have this weird word for it, and that's his weapon. It's so stupid.
Apparently, it's, like, a real... It's pretty close to being, an actual weapon that actually existed.
Well, I mean, I know there's an Indian martial art where you use a whip and a shield, and I think that's what they were going for with it, but by no means did it look even remotely like... Well, I mean, you know how fantasy art and stuff is. It's like, oh, just make it more extreme. He'll have three tendril whips instead of one, because no one would, like, believe him if he had one. Yeah.
Whatever. Basically, Gideon is soldier guy, and he spikes out when he beat a boss.
Is that how it happened?
Yeah.
I have so little knowledge of
Gideon. He
killed
a very strong opponent that he didn't think he could beat, and he spiked out just by feeling so awesome.
Yeah. The only factoid that I know about Gideon at all is that he and Chandra had a fling.
Oh, yeah.
And he sort of also fought the Eldrazi.
Yeah, he was sort of important in fighting the Eldrazi, but it sort of also implied that he didn't really get all that much done. And merely, survived.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty good when you're fighting, you know, Emma and Cozy and crew.
Yeah, oh, that's right, because he had that near-death experience.
Yeah.
When he was
fighting. He almost got his ass kicked by one of them, but then
Even though he had, like, something. Two other walkers on his side.
Yeah, but those were both idiots.
Yeah, they were. Because all walkers kind of are.
Who is it, like...
So, for no reason, he fights the Eldrazi. For no reason, he has his fling with Chandra, which is an okay reason for that, actually. But now, where is he and what's he doing?
Like...
I mean, he's returned to the core set, and he has, like, his little helpers or whatever. Like, so he's clearly got bros.
Basically, everyone goes back to the stupid plot organization of planeswalkers who don't know what the hell they're doing and think that joining... It's like consortium or something. And that's, like, back on Ravnica. Everyone's going back to Ravnica, which means the next block must be on Ravnica. Yeah.
They use Ravnica as a convenience because it's the only plane where commerce takes place or anyone has any sense of citizenry. It's the fantasy plane that has the most presentism to it and the most present tropes. So you can have, like, political entities and intrigue and, you know, buildings. You don't have to have just wizards in the wilderness slinging spells at each other. There's a cityscape to it. So when your artists feel like drawing buildings instead of landscapes, then you send them to Ravnica.
Yeah.
So let's pretend that Gideon went to Ravnica.
Gideon went to Ravnica because that's basically what planeswalkers do when they're out of good ideas. They figure out something to do there. And, like, who else was with him fighting the Eldrazi?
Well, I was attributing that to the other planeswalkers who were in that block as cards, Nissa Ravain and Soren Markov.
So let's start off with Nissa.
They were definitely fighting the Eldrazi because they appeared on that poster that had, like, Kozilek in the background and them in the foreground going, "Oh, man, he's huge," and Kozilek going, "Yo, I'm a bro, whatever." So yeah, either of them would do.
Okay, so like Nissa is an elf.
Is definitely an elf.
That's basically her only character feature.
She is an elf. She likes elves.
She likes elves.
She has
she
her
likes
chosen
flowers.
Elves. No, her other character feature is being too lascivious to print on a magic product.
Oh,
Nissa
yeah.
Ravain's original artwork was completely chaste as far as, like, the standards of artwork that appears on Magic the Gathering cards goes, but it showed, like, a tiny little bit of side boob or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And that was going to appear on this big-ass poster on a children's product. So they had the artist redo her artwork to have a little piece of cloth there instead, and so now she has more of a sweetheart neckline. And, yeah. So her claim to fame is being too booby.
That's about it. She's, like, she worked with...
We don't know a lot about Nissa.
Like, basically, like, she's from Zendikar.
Mm-hmm.
And she is an elf, and that's really
yep.
about it. She
and she has her, like, buddy
Soren
elves.
For something...
Yeah, and, you know, it makes sense for her to fight the Eldrazi, because there they are, and they're tearing up her home. But she didn't get all that much accomplished.
No,
the only thing she ever did was summon elves and gain life. Yeah. We have no idea what happened to her since then, and she was too much of an idiot to accomplish anything. So there. Moron.
Pretty dumb. Picked up black mana when she went to Lorwyn.
Wait, did
for
she?
A while.
Do we have any evidence of that from products?
No, not probably not.
I mean, the only
like,
the
maybe
only evidence
some book
I, know,
somewhere, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. The only evidence I know of that is that her illustration looks more like a black green card illustration than it does like a green one. But that's really the only thing I had. Does she even have a deck in? Duels of the Planeswalkers? I thought that's where
deck.
It might come from. It's just green?
Yeah, I think so.
Because if that were green-black, that would at least be something.
Yeah, I think it's just
and
green.
And I guess
though.
Elves were green-black in Lorwyn,
yeah.
So that would be possibly a reason, but really that was a specific to Lorwyn thing.
No, it's
like
a specific to Lorwyn thing. Either way, it doesn't affect the fact that Nissa is way too dumb to do anything useful. And
yep.
Like
Sorin, on the other hand,
being an elf, Sorin is like, here's
Sorin's Castlevania,
deal,
the Planeswalker.
He's old enough and assholish enough to not give a shit about a whole lot of stuff that pisses off a whole lot of the other walkers and makes them do stupid shit. He's just like, yeah, whatever, okay, I'm gonna do something else.
Yeah.
He's a vamp.
So I have no... I don't know why he ended up on Zendikar in the first place, but he was there and he was like,
there.
Whoa, this is bad. This is real bad. I gotta fight these guys. Welp, that didn't work. Guess I'll go home. And then he goes to Innistrad, where he's from.
Yeah,
he's a vampire.
Back to Innistrad. He's from, like, some important, like, house full of vampires there, the Mokov house.
Yeah, a noble house.
And, like, his deal is basically, like, I'm super great, so I don't give a shit. He's the pot
yeah,
of black mana
that
doesn't give a shit.
Right, but also part of it that does. Here's the thing about Sorin. He allegedly created an angel protector for the plane of Innistrad to keep the bad stuff at bay. All the werewolves and vampires and zombies and spirits that are spooking out the place were held in check by an angel named Avacyn. And Sorin had created her from spare parts that he had lying around. But then she disappeared mysteriously, and Sorin only finds this out after he comes back there. I don't know timeline-wise whether that's before or after the Eldrazi thing, but I prefer to think of it as after, as if he, you know, is just hopping around places, didn't have any news from back home about his angel missing or whatever.
Yeah.
And then fights the Eldrazi and is like, well, screw this, I'm going home. And then he goes home and he's like, what the hell happened? And the whole place, you know, the table's overturned. There are lots of dishes left undone.
Yeah. Like, did you guys let the Eldrazi out while I was gone? Did you?
What's all this nonsense? And then he adopts the white part of his persona.
Yeah.
So he's a black-white card when he returns in Dark Ascension, which is supposed to be the flavor of, you know, I protect me and my boys, and everyone else can go screw themselves.
So better hope like you're letting, one of my boys.
Yeah, letting two or three into the inner circle, as it were. But, yeah.
Basically...
So he's too much of an idiot to keep track of the one most important thing that he ever did.
Right.
Which was make a protector for a plane.
But that's because he was, like, also... he's busy protecting a bunch of planes, and really his rap sheet looks pretty good on the whole. It's like, imprisoned the Eldrazi. You know, prevented humans from going extinct on Innistrad.
Oh wait, he imprisoned the Eldrazi.
He worked with Ugin and
he
like
was working
one other
with
guy.
Ugin and the Lithomancer dude.
Yeah,
the rock mage. Okay, okay.
So
that
like
makes sense,
he's a closer. You know, he's like, okay, we got a problem here. Eldrazi tearing shit up.
And yeah, here's the problem I have with his character. All of this is awesome stuff that he's done in the indeterminate way past.
Oh yeah, this was like 20,000 years ago.
So perhaps he was at one time a sharp cracker, but
it was just
now, I think he's past his prime, shall we say. I mean, we'll see how he does with Avacyn restored.
We'll
I have
see,
a feeling
but
that...
I mean, he's at least not being like, oh no, something's going wrong, better not do anything about it. He's cleaning up his own mess here. And, you know, I can give him a little credit.
No. I will give him credit if he, like, chases down Chandra and Jace and just berates them
just
like children.
Like gives them like, each one hard slap on the face.
Thinking?
It's like, you, what are you doing? You, what are you
do
doing?
Do you have any idea how long I worked with that stupid rock mage to make all this happen? And you, with the ghost fire. Why would you do such a thing? Yeah. I'm going to have Ugin in here, and he's going to roast your sorry ass.
Can we just have, like...
As soon as I find him.
Like a 250-page novella that's just Sorin verbally abusing Jace and Chandra while they sort of whimper and, you know, look at their feet.
They look back and forth at each other and they're like, ooh, with the looks on their faces like they're kids who just got caught with their hands
in the cookie
jar.
That's what it is. Because he's like, I think technically the oldest planeswalker is still alive other than Nikki. And so, like, yeah, these are all basically
children.
Oh,
so he gets... So when you get to be 20,000 years old, finally you get to be more than short-sighted. Is that how long it takes?
Pretty much. But it's like, yeah, basically all these other walkers are pretty much children in his eyes. And so, yeah, he'll just lay down the law. Black-white, lay down the law. Sometimes hard, sometimes with blood involved.
In whatever cruel way that gets it done.
Yeah.
Looking for efficiency and effectiveness,
so it's like
not necessarily
Teese,
mercy or justice.
Okay. You can do worse than Soren for, like,
yeah, I think he's, like, Johnny just sort of got bored and lobotomized. Soren has been doing things and probably comes off the best of any planeswalker. Certainly of any that we've talked about so far.
Yeah, and he's still getting codes and shit, so...
Well, you know who else is from Innistrad, as it turns out?
Who the fuck else?
Indeed!
Who the fuck else is from Innistrad?
A humanus!
Oh, fuck. No.
Liliana. Liliana Vess.
Liliana Vess.
She's from there.
She's also...
And, you know... She's always been wearing outfits that are similar to the outfits they have on Innistrad, and she's from a noble house, and noble houses exist on Innistrad because they have nobles. She's the more, I guess, Saturday morning cartoon villainish side of black.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just sort of like going around and using her magic powers to hurt people and take things. Not in the way that Chandra, like, is a thief, but rather, oh, she heard from her demon buddies that this super powerful artifact called the Veil of Who's and What's-Its can give someone power, and yeah. She goes and takes it, and then betrays her demon buddies who told her to get it for him.
Yeah.
So she's a bad bitch. Making deals with demons and then killing them. With power.
It's like double evil.
Yeah.
Not only are you making, you know, arrangements with, like, actual literal demons, but you're also, like, a liar.
Now, as far as a character motivation, okay, she's motivated by power, she wants more power. That kind of makes sense, you know? You would make that kind of deal. You'd pay the price for power. Having paid that price to the mob, you might at one point want to get out from under their thumb, because that's a pressure on you that's, you know, preventing you from getting more power. So she goes and gets the thing and steals it. It's called the Veil. I think it has a more of a name of that, but whatever. She takes the Veil and starts wearing it, and she's like, yes, I'm even more powerful now, and then goes and kills the demon, and then goes back to Innistrad, and then... I don't know, actually. For whatever reason, Garruk was chasing her.
Well, because, she killed, like, a dinosaur that Garruk really liked.
I think this is a chicken and egg thing. I don't know which part of that... Because I know that she did that, but only after he was chasing her. So maybe there was another dinosaur that she killed?
Either way, she really likes killing dinosaurs, and Garruk really likes dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And who can blame him?
While Liliana was on her quest to steal the Veil, Garruk was on a quest to track her down and fight. Because he likes fighting and he likes tracking.
Yeah. Gary's green. Mostly green.
He's green. He started out as a farmer's son.
Yep.
And his dad showed him how to untap lands. With magic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's just real basic green
when
magic.
When he was very young, the state or whatever came and captured his dad and threw him in an oubliette forever. And
that's
then
weird as hell.
Fled into the woods, used a magical leaf walkie-talkie thing to talk to his dad and listened to his dad get tortured or whatever, while his dad gave him advice about how to go on living. And it became a wild boy, made friends with a bunch of monsters, and then came and destroyed the town or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, I am now a monster.
I am king of the dinosaurs.
I am a million monsters. Roar. Having done all that,
a wolf riding a rhinoceros riding a dinosaur.
So having been a farmer, untapping some lands and making friends with wild animals, he then goes and becomes a bounty hunter, because that's apparently a thing that planeswalkers do.
How's that green?
I don't know. He has been tracking Liliana for a while. Like he went to Ravnica and did this awful person favors just to get a hint of where Liliana might have gone. Like, I'm pretty sure that he dealt with the Gorgon lady.
Oh, yeah, in the, what's it called, guild? The Golgari.
The Golgari, yeah. And they were mafioso-themed at that. And so he's, like, sort of talking around the demon underworld that somehow exists on every plane, even though it has no planeswalkers itself, and so on. Man. And when Liliana
likes dinosaurs.
When Liliana gets the veil, she curses Garruk, and then Garruk becomes Garruk the Veil Cursed.
Yeah, and he hates that shit.
He's green and black. And all of the animals that he summons are now sickly and weird, and they have death touch.
He hates that.
And so he wants to get Vale uncursed, and so he's still tracking her even right now. So his motivations never really made sense, and he keeps fucking up, and he's kind of a dirtle and derfy.
But plus side, he likes dinosaurs, and he's big on just like, hey, I'm going to solve my problem with like 20 dinosaurs. I can stand by a guy whose solution for everything is a dinosaur.
Well, he does have convictions, even if he doesn't have sense.
Yeah.
So we can give him convictions. I'll set him on the rung here, like one below a Johnny.
Yeah.
So far we have Soren, who has been effective in the past but is questionable now.
Yeah.
A Johnny who's just kind of bored, and Garruk who is consistent, and then everyone else is an idiot.
I was like, okay, who else we got? We got, like, Elspeth? We talked about Elspeth.
Elspeth Knight Errant. She comes from ? Plane, and then arrived on the plane of Bant because it represented her ideal world or whatever, and she was like, I am going to protect Bant forever.
I want to protect everyone.
Right. And then she makes some people indestructible or something, makes others jump really high, because that's what she does somehow.
Yep.
And can also make babies. She makes some little soldier tokens.
She's sort of a leader-y knight person.
Okay.
And she's like, hey, let's go fight something. And someone was like,
yeah,
okay,
storyline-wise, the shards of Alara all crush together into the maelstrom from which weird cascadey magic happens. And this is really devastating for the plane of Alara, and everyone's in danger, and Elspeth wasn't able to do anything about it. And that's as far as she goes as a character. I have a tragic past. Whoa, I'm a planeswalker. I ended up on Bant. This is perfect. I will protect it forever. I could not protect it.
She still, like, beat the crap out of a few nasty things up there.
Okay.
That's
like, apparently, she was, at one point in the comic, she was fighting this other dude in an arena on some indescribable plane somewhere. The dude in question was looking for a cure to phyresis, and he had the black oil in him. And she says, huh, I don't know about that. Let's keep fighting. And he's like, I'm going to die from this. Blarg. I don't know why she was there. I don't know why it was her. I don't know why Elspeth as a character would be fighting in an arena or doing anything that isn't on the plane of Bant. There's lots of question marks around that whole scenario. I also sort of thinly remember it myself, coming from a comic that I read over a year ago and only once and not to completion. But it does bring up Phyresis.
That's sort of the plot device the Phyrexians invented to take over Mirrodin. And it gets everywhere, and you can't wash it out, and not even bleach works, unless it's, like, the best bleach. The only way is to just not touch it, or to be magically somehow immune to it, like you are if your name is Mirrodin.
Yeah, it's another one of these things that works perfectly until it doesn't for no reason.
Yeah, and then it dripped all over Karn, who we'll get to. And then
I think we're getting to Karn more or less now.
Okay, so Karn, he's a giant robot.
He is.
Which is a
Silver Golem.
Start off, is a robot. The punchy. Okay.
Urza made him. He was a mega pacifist for a long time. And yeah, he was part of a collection of artifacts called the Legacy that Urza thought were the just coolest artifacts ever.
Oh, yeah.
And so Karn is a subset
of that. Then a bunch of people died
like,
and
coolest Koth artifacts ever.
When they all died, they're like, hey, Koth, have my power, because you're all
right. You mean Karn, right?
Well, not Koth, Karn.
Yeah,
Koth.
We'll get to Koth.
And so Karn's like, well, I'm superpowered now. I guess I should go do things. And he invented a plane, and that went fucking well.
He invented the plane of Mirrodin.
Invented the plane of Mirrodin by taking
then the
an
oil
artifact
got in
and
it.
Turning it into a goddamn plane, and that all went to shit right quick.
Yeah, then the oil got in it, and Phyrexia's like, hey!
Phyrexia's like, oh, boy.
This is a pretty cool place, wow.
And so then it took over, and it got into Karn, and Karn's like, I'm a goofball. But then it got better, because Venser killed himself. And
Venser just like shows up and is like,
shows up,
oh
he's like,
man,
okay,
this is terrible. Hold on, I got this.
He's like, this is terrible. And he just like takes out a flask with a skull and crossbones on it, drinks it, falls over, dies. Spoke goes to Karn and purifies him. And then he wins.
And then Karn's like, oh,
I feel way better.
I'm getting out of here now.
Yeah, and they leave. Because
that's
and
what
so
us planeswalkers do.
Basically gone to shit because no one cares about it. Because they shouldn't, because it's a shitty plane to begin with. So the Phyrexians basically rule there, and you're pretty much fucked unless you're red. And if you're red, then, what's his name is running the show?
Urabrask.
Urabrask is running the show, and he's basically same as the old boss. If you're
Urabrask is the one who showed up and was like, nothing about this needs to change.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, that's pretty all right. Huh. People are doing stuff. There's fire. Things are happening.
I can see Urabrask having this like checklist for things that he's going to do to change the plane of Mirrodin to ensure that they're there. Okay. We'll need a great furnace. Need that. Oh, they have that.
They have it.
Jeez.
Smoke that off.
Okay, well, how about... Okay, tribe of goblins who like sacrificing artifacts. And so they've been like, oh, Krark clan. Oh. Huh. Okay, we'll need a rust monster too. And they have one of those, and he's like, well, geez, it's just what do I need to change? It's already great.
I guess everyone start turning your timesheets into me at the end of the week.
Yeah, I'll be over here. Cool.
And everyone was basically okay with that because he didn't murder anyone. Like,
they all like
okay.
Shrugged their shoulders. Ugh, same as the old boss.
Yeah.
Stoke those fires. We work for
so,
Urabrask.
Mirrodin is this complete shithole of a plane except for that part of it.
Yeah.
So no one cares.
Lucky
and that's
for,
why everyone left.
Lucky for Koth, I suppose, because he was from the red part of it.
Yeah. Koth. Okay, here's Koth. Koth is like if. Koth and Garruk are the most muscle-est of our planeswalkers. They are the muscle wizards. So that's pretty cool, having a muscle wizard around, so it's not all just, you know, like, old dudes and robes.
If Garruk likes dinosaurs, then Koth likes mountains.
Koth likes volcanoes.
He likes mountains so much that every one of his abilities has the word mountain.
Yeah. He makes your mountains into punchy men, or he... It draws extra power from the mountains, or he turns all your mountains into volcanoes forever. And they're really smart volcanoes, too. They'll do whatever you want.
They're extremely accurate volcanoes.
Yeah,
with
these
all
are the
of
best
the sharpness
volcanoes
of a prodigal sorcerer.
Koth's deal is, like, he's on Mirrodin, and there are a bunch of different, like, clans of Volshoks.
Red clans. He is from the Hammer Clan.
He's Koth von Hammer Clan.
Koth von Hammer Clan.
And he spiked out, and everyone's like, oh, the Hammer Clan sucks. And he's like, no, we don't. Check me out. And so it's like, okay, I guess you're all right. And then the Phyrexians showed up, and he did a pretty good job fighting, you know, just random Phyrexians, because it's like, god damn it, none of you are mountains.
Yeah.
He punched out a bunch of them, and that went pretty well, but then it's like, yeah, there's too fucking many of them. I'm going to go to a pool party on Ravnica.
And yeah, and then he just... Yeah, that's it.
Like, I think at some point,
I mean,
he
suffers from
like,
he suffers from being a new character who doesn't have a whole lot of stuff happen to him.
Yeah,
you're right. He does. He is in a comic with like Elspeth on the other side.
Basically, he sasses her for talking instead of punching.
Oh, right. He was also in that comic where Elspeth was fighting that dude who was suffering from phyresis.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, it could have been Koth who brought back the oil in the first place. Oh, wouldn't that be all?
No, I thought the oil was, like, was brought there by Kai?
Why would he do that?
By accident?
I don't know. Because
it's like,
I don't know
he gets it in him,
there.
And then he goes back to the plane to beat up Memnike. And then it's like, whoops, oil. So it begins. Venser is dead. That's what you need to know about Venser. He was okay, but then...
Venser, like, shows up and immediately dies.
Shows up, like, he had a code before where he was a creature, and a pretty cool creature at that. He's from, like, Uborg, apparently, which is part of Dominaria.
Oh,
But, basically, like, the first interesting thing he did... Like, other than the whole... Like, he was important in the whole time spirally plotline, whatever.
Yeah.
Planet of Chaos. Then basically he shows up on Mirrodin and he's like, oh, shit. And dies so that Karn can feel better. And get the poison out and become... I don't know, what do they call his card?
Karn liberated?
Yeah, so he can get liberated from the oil. And, like, just sort of shoot his eye lasers at things to exile them.
Oh, you know who else was on Mirrodin for no reason? Tezzeret was there.
Oh, yeah, Tezzeret. He's, like, some idiot from Esper, which is part of the line. Well, Artificer's there, and so his body is, like, half this goofy-looking metal, and everyone on that plane... looks goofy, because they're like, I want to replace my body with Ethereum so that I look like a total freak show. Because that's cool to look like a freak show on
Esper. And yeah, Esper is simultaneously a plane of, like, perfect rigidity and logical order, and then also people who just love head chops and want to, like, modify themselves.
Yeah.
So total, it's a little, like, weird, a little incongruous.
Whatever,
Tezzeret
he's
has
stupid.
His whole, like, arm replaced.
And has basically done nothing but stupid things because people who wanted him to do stupid things asked him
he was,
to do a stupid
originally,
thing. He was like, okay.
Originally on the Shard of Esper, he was called the Seeker because he was part of a clique of Seekers, which was a caste in their society, who was tasked with finding more sources of Ethereum. So he was a mineral prospector. And then he finds his spark, steals a bunch of stuff, and leaves. And then Nicole Bolas finds him and is like, you work for me now! And Nicole drives him insane, and then he becomes Tezzeret the whatever.
Tezzeret the twisty. Tezzeret agent of Bolas.
Agent
straight
of,
up calling out his boss on the card. By the way, I work for this other card, making me instantly scrubbier.
So he represents the law firm of Bolas and Sons or something.
Yeah. Also, he got beaten up by Jace. And what kind of scrub gets beaten up by Jace?
Wait, like in a fist fight? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, because, like, it was like Jace and Lily were, like, doing it or something, and he just walks in on them because they were doing it in Tezzeret's house.
Did I interrupt something in my own house?
Yeah, and then Jace punches him out.
Jace punches, you know, I kind of favor in a fist fight the guy with the big metal claw arm. But, jeez.
Oh, and then, like, Jace cuts off his metal claw arm.
What? His defining feature? Why would Jace do this?
Because Jace is a fucker. He's like, well, you could be interesting because of that, but I fucking hate interesting shit. I'm Jace Balerion. I love boring shit. Like,
he
milling
is more
people.
Impulsive than any Red Walker. That is ridiculous.
Walked in on the dude. Jeez. Well, he was with a lady who was doing him so that she could trick him into stuff.
Oh, I think I know why he got mad. Because Tezzeret walked in and was like, yo, you know how old that bitch is? And Jace is like, I don't know. Because he's all this young buck guy, and Willie is like, fine.
Jace is like 12?
I must be. He's an anime.
He's mentally 12. He and Chandra are unfortunately both animes.
They're both
like stupid as hell, and Chandra, instead of having, like, literally fire for here, which is sort of goofy, but it's like, okay, you really like fire, you can tell. She instead just has, like, pink anime hair, and it's the dumbest shit. Who the fuck has pink anime hair other than me when I transform into my cosmic soldier powers suit?
But hey, like, to be fair, I kind of want to have, like, pink hair. I think that would look awesome on me.
Yeah, but it's you're not, like, also a 14-year-old girl giving panty shots.
It's true. I'm neither of those things.
You are none of those things. Well, except maybe the panty shots, but still.
I was at 1.14. That was true.
That's true.
I'm wearing pink. I mean, you can't see it. I mean, you know what I mean. You've seen my pink shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. But basically, like, dude,
totally wearing
a
pink.
Bunch of dumb people got in a fight with each other and then got even stupider as a result.
Yeah. Okay, so they're all morons.
Tezzeret
who are we
basically
missing?
Dumb. No one gives a... If someone you meet actually thinks Tezzeret is their favorite dude, just give him a little, like, bap on the forehead. Like, what are you doing? What are
you
doing?
You put your boss's name on your business card? That's how much of a tool this guy is.
What a sucker. Okay. I think that's all for people who have cards.
Yeah. Let's see.
So we're left with the people who don't, but who have still come up. We've got Ral Zarek.
Lightning Man.
He was like Lightning Man? He's from Ravnica, which is, you know, if you're going to be from a place, Ravnica's pretty good.
There's a lot of people in it.
Yeah. And
there are a lot
like
of things that happen there.
He's red-blue, and wouldn't you know, there's a bunch of red-blue folks on that plane, and they're called the Izzet, and they were a pretty okay bunch of folks if you wanted to do wacky lightning experiments.
Well, I mean, I think it's too early to write off all of the new planeswalkers as idiots just yet. I mean, we can probably safely presume that they are, and we can wrap this up for now with my conclusion about why planeswalkers are a narrative atrocity and will never be part of an interesting story ever.
Okay.
It's because they can planeswalk. Absolutely all of them have this ability to get out of whatever dire situation they're in anytime they wish, just by willing it. They can be bound up, they can be magically sealed, they can be...
The bully is about to stuff them in a locker, and they just planeswalk away.
Yeah, and it works, and then they're gone, and then they can go to somewhere else. The only reason that they have struggles at all is because they choose to. The few that have this, like, noble intent or want to do something good in the world or the multiverse, they go and do it because they want to. But then if things don't break their way or they get into trouble, they are never really in danger.
Like, oh,
they just
whatever.
Can't be.
Basically, they die if they feel like it.
Any character like this who is just never in any real danger is impossible to relate to. You have this the system of rules that they are part of means that in order to believe that they have these powers at all, you have to believe in this one piece of the narrative, at which point it makes it impossible to relate to them. They're only
in danger ever from each other, because, like, they can planeswalk away, but then they just... The other person...
And even then,
them.
They never really seem to be, because their spats have resulted in, like, being punched out, or like taking up a new job for a kind of skeezy boss.
None of them ever really want to kill each other.
Maybe that's what we need. Like, yeah, even Garruk, when he was like hunting Liliana, he didn't really want to kill her. And Liliana, when she was fighting back against him, just sort of killed his monsters.
Yeah.
She thought he was kind of good-looking.
Well, he is.
Yeah. Kind of a meathead.
He's just muscle wizard!
And that, that's why you can't frame an interesting story around that. And if they could have by now, they would have done it. Because what three disasters have we seen that could have possibly done it? Okay, the Maelstrom. This is a multi-plane spanning storm that's combining or destroying or creating planes. Right. And it's this huge disaster. It's causing a bunch of weird shit to happen in the multiverse. You'd think that would, like, interrupt people's abilities to walk or somehow give them a real challenge, right? But Nicol Bolas, Elspeth, Ajani, Sarkhan, and Tezzeret all make it out of there completely okay. I mean, you know, okay. Sarkhan and Tezzeret end up working for Nicol Bolas, and maybe that's not okay, but again, they're still there. They're fine. Ugh. Okay, so that disaster wasn't good enough. How about the Eldrazi? Creatures who are native to the multiverse. You try to walk away, you know, you try to, like, go out into the ocean or whatever. They are the sharks in that ocean. You cannot escape that, right?
Yeah.
Except that they could.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened to Nyssa Ravain. Maybe she's okay. But Gideon is totally fine. Sorin just up and left. So it worked.
Blech.
So these, like, creatures who are native to the Blind Eternities aren't actually native to there and are kind of themselves apathetic and just want to show up and wreck some stuff before, like, getting shuffled back into the library or whatever, because that's what they really like to do with their time, the big three. Okay, so that's, can't do that. Ooh, how about a disaster so plain and multiverse-spanning that it makes time itself turn in on itself and then things happen at different times and it's all on Dominaria, right? Because that's the time spiral thing. It totally affects the entire multiverse all at once throughout history forever, right? That's got to give the Planeswalkers a hard time.
Yeah.
Right? Except the end result of that is that Teferi and Radha and I guess Jaya
some other
folks just sort of give up their sparks. Oh, and they also ritually sacrifice Radha, and then everything's okay.
Yeah,
and
Planeswalkers become the disempowered thing.
So the that third and greatest challenge that could have possibly put anyone in danger is just sort of bootstrapped away by, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of nasty to ritually sacrifice someone and have that be your solution. It's grisly, but still, in the grand scheme of things, it's one person in this multiverse that is so impossibly vast that only the most rare of people can become planeswalkers, and this most rare of people subset is a group of about 30 so far. So extrapolating out from that. Yeah, and some of them have even, like, met each other or come from the same place, so clearly we're talking about a multiverse that is chock full of just trillions and trillions and trillions of life forms.
Idiots.
And probably even more than that. So in the grand scheme of things, it's hard to, like, throw my heart out to Radha for being ritually sacrificed here. Yeah. And, you know, being dead isn't all that bad either. You can be a zombie. That's great.
Yeah, you can be a zombie, you can be a ghost.
Yeah. So she's probably doing okay as a ghost or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, that's those are the disasters.
Then there's
that
also
could
like Duck
Fago
and Hakuna Matata, but no one cares about them.
Well, Dak Faden is going to happen later, as will Raul Zarek, as will Koa Atua or whatever.
Yeah, Hakuna Matata.
the merfolk lady.
Yeah,
person.
She's got a goofy baby.
The person who is obviously going to be a plant for the core set so that you can have someone in there who's blue but not Jace for finally. Because they keep screwing up what Jace does.
Here's what Jace does. He acts like a complete toolbox. And you just want to wring his scrawny little blue mana neck,
he's
but you
such
can't.
An emo man.
He's like, oh no, I use blue magic, and that makes me better than all the dumb jocks in high school who used to pick on me, but now I'll show them with my blue mana. I'll
totally
summon
show
their
them.
Dinosaur, and I'll fate seal them, and I'll get banned because I'm a shithead. And. All sorts of other. No one fucking.
It's
likes
like he grew
Jace.
Up to. It's like he grew up to be a lawyer, but then like goes against the rules or the canons or whatever. And
he grew up to be a lawyer, and then like
license.
Continued acting like a literal child.
Well,
he has
to
power,
be fair,
but
I've met
he's
some
so
lawyers.
Dumb.
Many of them are dumb because they don't use the facts that are hidden within their thick skulls.
Skulls.